This is Jedrick Wills, left tackle for the Cleveland Browns, and you're listening to the Browns Huddle Podcast. Enjoy the show.
And welcome to the Browns Huddle Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Hand. It's Thursday, October the 1st, and we are 2-1, baby. The Cleveland Browns are 2-1, and we have a game this coming weekend that we're going to talk about in just a couple of minutes. But first, this episode is brought to you by Todd Pennington with Columbus-based Revolution Mortgage. He is the proud sponsor of the Browns Huddle Podcast. If you're looking to refinance into a very competitive, low-rate, cash out for debt consolidation or home improvements, now is the time with historically low rates. Contact Todd Pennington at 614-390-9520 or visit revolutionmortgage.com/T Pennington for more info. Revolution Mortgage is the equal housing lender, NMLS ID 1686046. Like I said, it's Thursday, October the 1st, and the Browns are 2-1. We have a chance to be 3-1 after this weekend as the Cleveland Browns head to Dallas to take on the Dallas Cowboys. It's going to be a great game. And to get you ready for that game, I'm going to welcome into the show Steven Ruiz. He's the lead writer for The Win at usatoday.com. You can find his stuff on Twitter at For The Win or on the website ftw.usatoday.com. He also has a podcast that he wanted me to mention, and that is called The Counter, an NFL podcast by For The Win. Great guy, awesome insight, and he's going to come on the show to talk about the matchup with the Cleveland Browns and Dallas Cowboys. This guest was brought to you by Zedia Network. As you know, the Browns Huddle Podcast, we are part of the Zedia Network. Go to zedianetwork.com. There are 7 podcasts on the network. And let me just run through our shows that we have. We have the Joshua Perry Show. Great podcast there. He talks about sports, life, and everything else you can think of. So go check out the Joshua Perry Show. There's also Drive the Lane. That's hosted by Andrew Zolden and Joey Lane. They bring you everything about Ohio State basketball, hoops, NBA. I mean, they cover it all on that show. And, of course, this one you're listening to now, the Browns Huddle Podcast. We have a Bengals podcast, the unofficial Bengals podcast. That's a great show. They have awesome guests on that show as well. Also, Ducks on the Pond, they talk about gambling, baseball, and more on that show. The newest show we have is the Southeastern Podcast. That's the SEC podcast. They talk about football and all that stuff that's going on in the SEC. So check out that podcast as well. And then there's a football gambling show. So for all you gamblers out there, there's a football gambling show on the Zedia Network. Again, that's the zedianetwork.com. Go to that website to see all the great shows. You can follow them. You can follow this show on Twitter. You can also follow us on all the podcast platforms that you listen to, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Podbean. All those, anywhere where you're at, you can find this show and many more on the Zedia Network. So go check that out. We have a game this weekend, this coming Sunday, 1 o'clock, Dallas, Texas. Baker's returning home to Texas to take on the Dallas Cowboys. It's going to be a great game. It's a game that, in my opinion, we don't necessarily need to win. Although when you say that we have a chance to be 3-1, I'd be lying to you if I didn't say that sounds very appetizing. So we do have a chance to be 3-1 on the year, and boy, if we can do that, woo, watch out. But that's not what I'm looking at. I mean, I just want to go in there to Dallas and have a good game. Now, the fan of me says, oh, yeah, we're going to win. I always think we're going to win. But if I'm looking at this logically, you know, win or lose, I just want to see us play a complete football game, a four quarters, 60-minute game, that we go in there and we're just competitive. And if it comes down to the last drive or the last two drives and we're still competitive in that game, that's all I can ask for. So, obviously, I want us to win. That would be awesome to be 3-1. But if we lose, it's not the end of the world. You know, Nathan Segura said on Browns Daily today, he pointed out to the great Bernie Kosar. If you haven't listened to that show today, go check it out. Nathan mentioned to Bernie that, hey, you know, to me, it looks like the Cowboys are the ones. They're the ones that have the pressure on them. You know, they're 1-2. They won. They could be 0-3, right? Because they got that watermelon kick at the last of the game to beat the Atlanta Falcons. So without that watermelon onside kick, they could be possibly 0-3, but they're 1-2. So to me, they're the ones that backs against the wall. Obviously, we're going in there hoping that we win. You know, I'm sure Browns players are going in there thinking they're going to win, and that's the mindset that they should have. But it's going to be an exciting game no matter how this shakes out. I can't wait for it. I wanted to get this podcast out to you on Thursday so that way I can help get you ready for the big game this coming Sunday at Dallas Stadium. It's a stadium that it's in my bucket list. I definitely want to go check it out one day before I die. It's not going to happen this Sunday, but eventually I want to go check out that stadium. All right, so Steven Ruiz, he is a guest that the Zedia Network so graciously got for us. I was excited to talk to Steven. He has a great mind for football. And like I said, he's the lead writer, NFL writer, at For the Win on Twitter. And you can find them on the web at www.ftw.usatoday.com. That sounds like a lot of dots. Let's just do this. ftw.usatoday.com. And also check out his podcast that I just learned about. I'll definitely check it out too. It's called The Counter. And I'm pretty sure, yeah, I found that on Apple Podcasts. So, yeah, it's right there. The Counter, an NFL podcast by For the Win. And Steven told me after the show that that's a podcast where they actually break down all the NFL action, all the games, to give you their insight of who they think is going to win or lose and how all these games are going to shake out. So, yeah, go check them out too. But I hope you enjoy this episode as I enjoyed giving it. Here is Steven Ruiz. And after that, I will see you next week. Steven will be with us right after this break. Steven, welcome to the Browns Huddle Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
I'm glad to have you on tonight. Before we get into Browns and Cowboys talk, I wanted to go over a few headlines with you, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, the recent COVID outbreak on the Titans reminded everybody that the virus is still around and can spread very quickly. Mm-hmm. The Steelers-Titans game was set to play this weekend, but was postponed until Monday or Tuesday. I don't think we have an answer on that yet. Do we now know the NFL protocol when multiple players get positive tests?
I don't know, because my big question was, how soon did the Titans know that they had a coach test positive, and why wasn't that big news the day before the game? Because that's apparently when they figured it out. So I'm assuming there's a protocol like shutting down the team facilities for the week, but I don't know if that's like a reliable answer to this problem, because now there's a big competitive edge. Let's say the Vikings do end up playing, they're going to play without a week of preparation. That's not really fair to them, and I think the most fair thing to do would have been to maybe shut down that game once they realized that the Titans had a coach who was likely in contact with some players on the team.
Yeah, we got through 3 weeks without really much to talk about as far as COVID's concerned, and now here we are. My initial thought was, you know, that's why I thought we had expanded rosters and right. Practice squads. We have expanded practice squads. So I was surprised that they pushed it to Tuesday or possibly Monday.
Right. Yeah. I don't know how – is that – extra day or two going to really change things? I don't know. I think if the NFL like really wants to get out in front of this thing, I think it makes the most sense just to either cancel the game or make a team forfeit or just try to figure out another week to play it. I don't really see the point of forcing it on this week.
Yeah, and you know this isn't going to be the first time. This was a huge wake-up call, I think, and it's just interesting to see how the NFL maneuvers through these different situations because you know it's going to happen again, and when it does, it's nice to know that there's a plan and for whatever's going to happen.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is a big testing ground for the NFL. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out and how it messes with the schedule if it does, and what you would expect the NFL had a plan in place, like expecting this to happen at least once during the season. And you're right. It's, what is it? It's week four and we still have 75% of the season to go. So
I'll tell you who's really freaking out is fantasy football owners. They're wanting to know, what do I do with my Steelers and Titans players? Right. You know, do I bench them? Do I start them? What do I do? So I know a lot of people are definitely paying attention to this for sure.
Yeah, I would probably leave Derrick Henry on the bench if I was one of those.
Leave him
owners.
On the bench.
Just in case.
You just mentioned how far we are in the season. We're about to start the fourth week. Unbelievably, this season is flying by so far. What team has been your biggest surprise so far?
I'd say the Rams. I know they lost last week, but I took more positives from that loss. I know they got off to a slow start, but they're a West Coast team going to the East Coast playing 10 a.m. start for their time. So I'm not surprised they got off to a slow start, but what they look like in the second half, I think that's one of the best teams in the NFC, and I was not expecting that before the season because they didn't make a lot of additions to the roster, and they obviously had a tough year in 2019. But their offensive line just like magically got better over the offseason, and Sean McVay's back to calling plays at a high level again. So I think, like, I'm going back to 2018. I think that's where the Rams are again. I think they're one of the best teams in the NFC.
Mm-mm-mm. All right, we have some older quarterbacks that are getting close to retirement. You know, what the likes of Big Ben, we thought he was going to retire a year or two ago, but he's still sticking around. Drew Brees, Philip Rivers, Tom Brady's of the league. We are seeing a different style of play at the quarterback position. You know, when you look at Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, do you think it'll continue to trend that way, or will there always be pocket passers in the NFL?
I think it will trend that way. That's how the college game has evolved. So I don't see why the NFL won't follow suit. And I think one of the reasons why is it's so hard to develop a pocket passer. Like, we've seen so many of those types of quarterbacks come in and they're presented as these pro-ready guys who are ready to take the league over like from year one, and it never really works out, or it takes a while for it to work out because there's just not enough practice reps anymore. The new CBA limit practice time. And in order to be that type of quarterback, I think you need a lot of experience, and they're just not getting it. So I think the quarterbacks who can, you know, you can have a more simplified passing game with, I think, you know, that's the future of the league.
You know, it's funny, 10 years ago, running quarterbacks would get in the league and they wouldn't last long, you know, right. And most people knew they wouldn't last long, but now it's becoming the norm and they're, for the most part, staying pretty healthy. So this is exciting to see.
Yeah, and I think NFL coaches have adopted some of the things that college coaches do to make those quarterbacks more comfortable because those things just work better. Just like when you have a quarterback who can run, the defense now has to pay attention to all 11 players in the run game. They can't just ignore – like if Tom Brady's handing the ball off, you don't have to worry about Tom Brady. But if Lamar Jackson's doing it, you can fake the handoff and go around the edge. So I think it just makes playing offense easier because you're playing 11 on 11 every down.
I heard it – speaking of Tom Brady, I heard the rumor – I don't know how true it is, but I heard that New England – wanted more of a running style quarterback. That's why they pushed Tom out and brought Cam in. I don't know if there's any truth to that, but it does make sense if that's the way they're thinking.
Yeah. Apparently like Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick met with Urban Meyer, and this was like a decade ago, and they were like really, really fell in love with his approach to offense. And obviously he always had a running quarterback. And I think it's just because of the reasons why I just laid out, like, it makes running the football a lot easier. And Bill Belichick has always had problems
defending mobile quarterbacks. Like last year, all of their losses were to mobile quarterbacks and then Ryan Fitzpatrick in week 17. So I'm not surprised he opted for Cam Newton, because Cam Newton had never lost to the Patriots in his career. And he had like his best games against Bill Belichick's defenses, which is always hard to do.
Well, Cam Newton sure is looking good. He's really fitting well in New England. So that's exciting to see. All right, so let's look at the AFC, because this is the Browns podcast, and we're in the AFC. I want to play the playoff game. I know we're only at finished week three, but assuming – all right, so, okay, so there's seven spots in the playoffs for the AFC side. You have the four division winners, three wild card spots. Assuming the current division leaders hold that spot, so you have the Chiefs, Steelers, Bills, and Titans, that leaves three spots available for a playoff berth. You have to think that the Ravens, you know, if they don't win the division, they'll at least make the playoffs. And then we just mentioned the Patriots. It's hard to see that they don't get a spot, you know, so we'll put them at number two. The seventh spot is interesting because the way I see it, the Colts, Raiders, and Browns are currently the teams fighting for that spot.
Yeah, and I, like, before the season, I did a thing where I went through every game and predicted who would win. And at the end of it, I tallied up the standings, and the Browns made that seventh seed, and they did it with an 8-8 record. So I don't think you're going to have to win 10 or even 9 games to make the playoffs. And I would actually put the Titans in there over the Colts. I actually like the Colts a little bit better. The Titans have kind of had some lucky breaks in games. I think they've won every game so far by a field goal, a game-winning field goal. And they have, and the teams they played, only the Jaguars have won a game out of those three teams. So they haven't had the stiffest competition. And I think the Colts, that first game against the Jaguars, it was a tough loss for them. It was an unlucky loss for them. They were the better team in there. And they've looked impressive since then. So I would say the Colts are that team that the Browns really need to overcome in order to get that final playoff spot. And I think, like, talent-wise, they match up, and they play each other in 2 weeks, so that could be a big game.
Unbelievably, the Browns play the Colts and the Raiders at home. You just mentioned we play the Colts in a couple weeks, and we play the Raiders at home as well, which I think bodes well for us. It's better than traveling to Las Vegas. We also play the Titans. You know, that's another team that you mentioned, and that's in Nashville. So, I mean, how do you see this shaking out? I mean, you pick the Browns as getting that seventh spot before the season started. Do you still feel that way?
It's so hard for me to say, because
it is hard.
Like, because they played one of the best teams in the league, and you're like, okay, if you look bad against the Ravens, I don't think it's that big of a deal. But then the Bengals in Washington, they don't really give you a lot of information when you beat them. So I'm really looking forward to this Dallas game. I think it's going to tell us a lot. I don't think, like, them losing is the worst thing in the world, but if they win, I think, yeah, I mean, you have to consider them a playoff threat. And I think another thing that works out in their favor schedule-wise is they get to play the Steelers in the last game of the season. And I don't know if you've seen Big Ben play this year, but his arm isn't looking like it was a few years ago. So by December, it could look even worse. I've kind of seen that with older quarterbacks of late, like Drew Brees and Phillip Rivers have kind of tailed off towards the end of the year. So, hey, I wouldn't be surprised if the Browns even challenged the Steelers for second place in the division.
That is music to our ears, my friend. Let's talk about the AFC North. All right, so currently right now the Steelers are at 3-0. They haven't lost. The Ravens are at 2-1. Of course, we saw the beatdown. They just faced the Kansas City Chiefs a couple nights ago. Mm-hmm. We're at 2-1, and then the Bengals are 0-2-1. Currently, you know, no matter how you seed them, Steelers, Ravens, you know, first, second, you can probably swap them out if you want. Right. There's really not much of an argument there, but there is a gap between those first two teams and the Browns. Mm-hmm. How large is that gap, and how do we close that gap? How do we become competitive with the Steelers and the Ravens of the AFC North?
I would actually say there's a gap between 1 and 2 and then 2 and 3, but I wouldn't be surprised if the gap just closes itself. Because of what I just said, if Ben falls off, I don't think you have to worry about that gap, because the rest of the – I know the Steelers have a great defense, but I don't know about that offense this year. The running game hasn't really been there. They had some success last week, but it's a lot of dink and dunk plays, and they've played some bad teams. So I don't even think they've been tested. So everything you could say about the Browns so far, about their wins coming against weak competition, I think you could say about the Steelers too. So I'm not so sure that the gap is that wide to begin with. And obviously the Browns have younger talent that they're working with. They have a younger quarterback, clearly. And the defense, I think, has a lot of potential, and it's obviously younger. So just naturally, I think that the gap might close. It depends. It all depends on coaching, I think, because the talent levels are close. So if Stefanski is the guy that we are, that Browns fans hope he is, I think that will close the gap too.
It's funny you mentioned Stefanski, because that leads me into my next topic. We love Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland. It's not even close. We love everything about Kevin Stefanski. What are your thoughts on what you've seen that he has done so far this year?
After that first week, I'm not going to lie, I was a little skeptical. I mean, I liked
I liked the hire.
Like, during the offseason, I was like, okay, he's going to bring in this offense that has, I think, really masks what Baker Mayfield doesn't do well. I think it hides his deficiencies and it highlights his strengths. And then obviously the week one game, I mean, it's hard when you're getting blown out to run a lot of play action. And that's really been his calling card in the past. But then weeks two and three, he got back to it and we saw how much that helped Baker. And I think that's going to be the case going forward. The thing is, just don't play the Ravens and don't get blown out. And, you know, the schedule's not too difficult once you get past the Ravens.
Yeah, I think that was a really tough ask for the Browns to, you know, with Kevin Stefanski's first game as an NFL head coach. And, oh, by the way, you're going against the Baltimore Ravens. That was a tough assignment right there. But I think the next game will be a little closer than the first, I hope, because that was an old-fashioned beatdown.
Yeah, this is the big – I think this is when we find out who the Browns are going to be for the rest of the year. These next 2 weeks, I would actually say. I have no idea what they are after those three games.
Well, we're definitely going to get into the Cowboys and Browns in just a second. All right, so over the past 2 weeks, we're not going to talk about Baltimore anymore, but over the past 2 weeks, we've seen the Browns running game around 35 carries a game. Last week, I think it was 36, but right around there. And then Baker dropped back 23 times both of these past 2 weeks. Is this the new Browns identity that we're seeing?
I think so. I mean, this is the identity. The Vikings rode to the playoffs, the second round of the playoffs. So I don't think it's a bad identity to have either. I wrote this after week two. I wrote that that win against the Bengals was a great sign for their offense for this season. I don't know if it's a great sign for Baker Mayfield's long-term development, because I think it is. Like, when you go to this type of offense that we've seen, like players like Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, Jimmy Garoppolo, these are guys that aren't necessarily players that are going to carry an offense, like a Patrick Mahomes, for instance, is. And, I mean, that's okay. I think Baker fits in this system, and as long as they stick with it, he's going to be fine. I just think that now the ceiling on his career is a little bit lower. But I think things will be easier for him going forward. I don't know if he's ever going to be that elite quarterback, but as we've seen, you don't need an elite quarterback to, you know, get close to winning the Super Bowl. The 49ers almost did it with Jimmy G last year.
Yeah, as far as Baker's concerned, I'm going to give him a little bit of leeway. I mean, he's on his fourth NFL head coach, his third offensive system. So right now, I think that Baker is learning Stefanski's offense. So I think right around – week five or six, I think, is when, you know, we're going to start seeing Baker get a lot more comfortable in this offense.
Yeah. I think the second half of this year is going to be a big, you know, stretch for his development as a quarterback, or like how the Browns view him as a quarterback. This is a system that really helps the quarterback. So I think he's going to play well enough to earn that second contract. I think it depends on how he looks in the system and like how much of the burden he carries. I think that's going to determine how much the Browns are going to have to end up paying him on that second contract. And that's really the big thing, is like, you have to get the quarterback contract right. If you don't get that right, it's really hard to build a team around the quarterback going forward.
I 100% agree. All right, so speaking of this formula, can this formula work against teams like the Cowboys, who put up a ton of points and can score very quickly?
Yeah, I think so. I think the Cowboys, yeah, they have a good offense and they've scored a lot of points, but that defense has not looked good. And this kind of offense in particular seems to have given them trouble, like against the Rams. It looks similar to what the Rams showed them. And then the Seahawks obviously took a lot of deep shots off of play action against the Cowboys and had a lot of success. Obviously, Russell Wilson is just amazing at throwing deep balls. So I don't know if they're going to be able to replicate that part of it. But I think they're vulnerable. So if you can get them, you know, inching up to the line of scrimmage with that run game, I think it could be a big game for Beckham and Baker Mayfield taking those deep shots, kind of like we saw them, you know, connect on one against the Bengals on Thursday night.
Yeah, speaking of the Cowboys, this is a good segue. Let's go ahead and get into it. The Cowboys are 1-2. They lost to the Rams, as you just mentioned, in week one, and the Seahawks in week three, and they were one watermelon kick away from losing to the Falcons. Right. That was an unbelievable ending to that game. What are your thoughts when it comes to, you know, like the Cowboys this season? Like, are they a pretender? Are they a contender? Like, 1-2, I mean, let's face it, they had some tough losses, but do you see them as being a playoff caliber team?
Well, I think, like, if me and you went and found, like, 20 other guys, we could be a playoff-caliber team in the NFC East. So it's not a high bar to clear is what I'm saying. They might get in the playoffs with 8 wins. But as, like, in terms of contending in the NFC, maybe, I don't know. That defense is just so bad. It's hard to know what to expect from it. I think certainly they have the quarterback. Dak Prescott has just been great this season. I don't think he's got a lot of help from that coaching staff at certain points in the season so far. So really, it comes down to the coaching staff, Mike McCarthy. How is he going to evolve this offense over time? Is he going to evolve it to the point where they can score enough points to outscore teams, you know, running up points against their defense? And will the defense get better? They do have a young secondary, and maybe that young secondary will improve with experience as the season goes on. I definitely think they're going to make the playoffs. And when you have a quarterback like Dak Prescott in an offense like that, I think he can challenge any team. And to me, the NFC is kind of wide open right now. The 49ers are banged up. The Seahawks are, you know, they're playing hot, but their defense isn't great either. And, you know, the Rams, as much as I like the Rams, they're still a bit unproven. They still have to prove that last year wasn't a total fluke.
You had mentioned earlier about the possibility of the Browns being 3-1 after this game. And I got to tell you, I got excited. So I guess my next question is, how do you beat this team? You know, what do you have to take away from them to beat this team? Belichick always talks about, you know, he takes away their biggest weapon. What would the Browns have to focus on this game?
The one thing the Rams did, and they're the ones that have had the most success against this offense so far. The Seahawks and Falcons didn't really slow down the offense. They just scored a lot of points. I would say is taking away the deep shots. That's what the Rams did really well. They played their two safeties deep and just tried to take away those deep shots and force Dak Prescott to check the ball down and throw it short of the sticks. And I think that's what the approach you have to take when they have so much firepower. And Dak is such a good quarterback, and he's such a good distributor where he's going to get the ball to the open guy. So as long as you limit the big plays and force them to put together like 10 and 12 play drives, I think that's how you beat them. And then obviously execution on offense. You got to score because they're going to score points. You know they're going to score points. You can't get down when they score a touchdown because it's going to happen.
So you're saying the Browns game plan should be – you know, maybe put two safeties deep, take away the big chunk plays, and obviously score a lot of points. That's probably going to involve Baker throwing it. You know, he threw the ball 23 times the last 2 weeks in a row. So that's probably going to involve him throwing it 30 to 40 times, as well as still focusing on a running game.
Right. I think it's going to be a long game, and there's going to be a lot of plays in the game. It's not going to be a short, quick game like we've seen out of the last – couple games where the Browns have been able to kind of control the clock and only throw when they have to throw. I think Baker's going to have to make some plays on his own this game. And like I said, the stretch I think is just going to be big for Baker. We're going to really figure out if he's the guy or if he's, you know, another name on that Browns quarterback jersey.
This could be a big game for OBJ. He's had some big moments in this year so far. Not a lot of catches, but he hasn't been targeted a whole lot. But right. I do see this game as being OBJ, maybe two touchdown game, over 100 plus receiving yards. What do you think on that?
I would not be surprised. Like, the tape from that Cowboy Seahawks game was pretty ugly for that secondary. They just weren't covering Tyler Lockett. And if you're going to cover a guy or DK Metcalf, so I think the deep shot is definitely how you beat this team. And, you know, Beckham's obviously the Browns' deep target. So I could see a big game for him.
Yeah, Tyler Lockett. Didn't he have like three touchdowns in the first half?
I don't even know if the Cowboys realized he was on the field. They just didn't cover him.
They just didn't cover him. And then DK Metcalf with the Leon Lett impersonation.
Right. Yeah, don't do that. That's another key to the game. Don't fumble the ball on the 1 yard line.
Yeah, don't do. Yeah, so get in the end zone and then do that. So do you, I mean, do you see this being a competitive game? Who do you think? Who do you got winning this one?
I'm gonna upset your fan base. I'm gonna pick the Cowboys just because I think they have the better quarterback in this one. But I think it's gonna be competitive, so I can see it going either way. Yeah, I think these are two playoff teams, two playoff caliber teams. I don't know if either team's gonna make the playoffs, but I think both of them are capable of making that run. So, you know, it's the NFL. I think it's gonna come down to the last possession or two, and whichever team makes the most plays in the fourth quarter, I think it's gonna win the game. It's gonna be a competitive game for sure.
Yeah, I'm with you on this, Steven. I would love to win the game. Obviously, I'm a Browns fan. I'm always going to hope that we win the game. But I think the Cowboys might be a little too much at this stage of where we're at. But I do want to see them be competitive, right? Yeah. And if it can come down to the last drive or two, you can't ask for more than that. I think next week when we play Indy in Cleveland, that's going to be the game that we need to win. But this one, as long as we look good, win or lose, I'm good with that result.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on this one. Like, this one is going to be a game where I don't think you can really look at the result and kind of, you know, it's going to make or break the season. It's just how does the team look? Even if they lose the game, how do they look? And then, yeah, the stretch with the Colts, the Steelers, and Bengals, I think that's a stretch where you have to win two out of three if you're going to make the playoffs.
It's going to be interesting, man, and I can't wait to see it. Well, let me ask you this. You know, this has been very insightful. I'm glad that you came on the show. How can the listeners follow you?
You can find me on Twitter at TheSteven, and that's Steven with a V, Ruiz. TheSteven Ruiz. And I write at For the Win, ftw.usatoday.com, and I also have a podcast, The Counter. We have two episodes a week. It usually comes on Monday morning and Friday mornings. And we, you know, we break down all the games and review all the games on Monday. I think it's a good listen. We kind of talk the same way we've been talking on this.
Well, I can't wait. I'll definitely give that show a listen. Man, thanks for coming on the show, buddy.
Yep. Thanks for having me. Anytime.